Wait. Good morning, Bridge of Hope Church, and all of you who are listening online. We're so glad you could join us. I apologize, we're 2 or 3 minutes late getting started, but we're glad you're with us. We are expecting a great service, expecting the Lord to touch your heart, and we'll all learn from Him and from His Word that we're going to be hearing soon. So God bless all of you, and worship with us together. Amen.
Day we're gathered in your name. Amen. We have waited for this day to worship the Lord together. Praise him. How great is our God. Let's let the Lord be large and magnified today. He is such a great God. Don't put him in a box and make him small. Let the Lord be the Lord. Amen. today is the day that we declare victory. Amen. The devil will not win. He will not and cannot win. Amen. This song is a great declaration of victory. And what the enemy meant for evil, God will turn it to good. That's scripture as well. So I want you in your heart today to let faith rise up and declare victory over anything that's got you held back. Be it fear from the enemy, be it lack and poverty, be it a mindset that you're defeated or that you're just not enough. Whatever the devil is throwing at you, you declare you're going to see a victory.
Only.
all things are possible to those who believe. Amen. Praise you, Lord. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. We are not in a hurry today. We are here to meet with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Thank you, Jesus.
Goodness of God.
Yes, I'm going to sing. And all my life you have been faithful. You are so good, so faithful. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, we bless your name today, Lord. Bless your name today, Lord. Oh, my favorite part of that song is I've known him as a father. I've known him as a friend. He is so good, so good. I'm so humbled. As I think about the Lord's goodness and what he wants to do in all of our lives, he wants to unleash miracles in this place. He is a God of miracles. God, miracles have not ceased. He is a God of miracles. I hope you let faith arise in your heart to believe for miracles and to expect the unexpected. That's what the Lord wants to do.
You deserve the glory and the honor, Lord. We lift our hands in worship as we magnify your name. You deserve the
you are great.
sing that again to Him, voices only. You deserve the glory and the honor. Oh, You deserve it, Lord. Lord, we lift our hands in worship as we magnify Your name. You deserve the glory. Oh, we praise You, Jesus. And the honor. Lord, we lift our hands in worship as we magnify Your name. For You are great. You do miracles so great. There is no one else like You. There is no one else like You. Yes, You are great. You do miracles so great. There is no one else like You. There is no one else like You. Oh, there is no one else like You. Oh, there is no one else like You. Amen. How many know they need the Lord now more than ever? Now more than ever, we are dependent on Him. Let's just sing a quick song here. Close your eyes if you're listening online. Sing it with us.
I need Thee, oh, I need Thee.
I'm supposed to sing this to declare that He is holy and He is worthy. Declare it in your heart. Holy. Thank you. time. Oh, you are whole. Oh, you're holy, Lord. Yes, you are. Are you, Lord God, Almighty? Worthy is the Lamb. Worthy is the Lamb. You are holy.
Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. It's so good to get back together with you. We just have missed you guys so badly. And we are streaming online on Facebook, but don't let that intimidate you in any way. Let's just have church this morning, right? We need church. We need the corporate worship. It's just something about coming in to the house of God and lifting our voices in worship and praise together. God inhabits the praise of His people is what He says. And I don't know if you felt it, but I felt the Holy Spirit come down when we were worshiping Him. Wanted to make one announcement to you, and that's this Thursday on May the 7th. We are celebrating the National Day of Prayer. I so appreciate the city of Paris for doing this. I'm right there on the court square on the north side. All they're asking is that we do go ahead and social distance. And if you want to wear a mask, I'm sure they would encourage that. But we're going to gather together to pray. And, you know, we used to sing a song a couple of decades ago, God is bigger than any mountain, bigger than any giant that I'll ever face. And I got news for you. God's bigger than the coronavirus. A lot of people are living in the fear with that. And but I'm just here to tell you, God's bigger. God's bigger. So we just worship Him and we depend upon Him and we look to Him today. And so thankful, appreciate the way you've spaced out today. And you're trying to do everything that we've been encouraged to do. And we have not been encouraged to have services yet. But they've allowed us to, and so I just really felt in my spirit that it was imperative for us to get back into worshiping the Lord. And I know that, you know, we can do almost anything on our own that you can do in church, but there's something about the body coming together that, man, it's just, you can't replace that. I don't care what you do on your own. You cannot replace that corporate anointing. And God was here in the first service in a great way, and He's here right now too. So just encourage you, let the Lord have His way. I want to speak to you today. We titled this, The Promise of the Father. Also, we're not taking an offering or receiving an offering today, but if you have your tithes or offering, there's a box on the back wall. We just encourage you to drop it in that box, and that way we're not holding anything together. So, amen. Acts chapter 1. Verse 1 through 14. Let me clean my glasses just a little bit. I'm not for sure if it's my glasses or the fact I've been crying, but I can't see. Acts chapter 1. He said, the former account I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach until the day in which He was taken up, after He, through the Holy Spirit, had given commandments to the apostles whom He had chosen, to whom He also presented Himself alive after His suffering by many infallible proofs, being seen by them during 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. And being assembled together with them, He commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which He said, you have heard from Me. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. Therefore, when they had come together, they asked Him, saying, Lord, will You at this time restore the kingdom of Israel? And He said to them, it's not for you to know times or seasons, which the Father has put in His own authority, But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Now when he had spoken these things, while they watched, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they were looking steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, who also said, "Men of Galilee, why do you stand gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus who is taken up from you into heaven will so come in like manner as you saw him go into heaven." Then they returned to Jerusalem from the mount called Olive, which is near Jerusalem, a Sabbath day journey. And when they had entered, they went up into the upper room where they were staying. Peter, James, John, Andrew, Philip, Thomas, Bartholomew, Matthew, James the son of Alphaeus, and Simon the Zealot, Judas the son of James. These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brethren. And I bring that special attention to you because most of the brothers of Jesus did not accept him until after his resurrection. And it was such, Jesus made it so provable, livable, believable. You know, when he began to show himself, even his brothers, who thought he was just a brother, didn't realize he was the Messiah, but they believed also enough that they were in the upper room and then later became leaders in the house of God. So we titled this sermon, The Promise of the Father. Let's pray. Jesus, we just come before you today and we're so thankful. God, thank you, thank you, thank you for the opportunity to meet together. Lord, to know, Lord, that we can worship, Lord, again, Lord, and open and know that you are here with us. We just give you praise and glory. Father, I know, Lord, that you have something that you want to depart and impart in people today, Lord. So I pray, God, that the Spirit of the Lord would touch the hearts that are here, Lord, and would minister to them exactly what they need to hear. Father, those listening online, God, we just pray that the Spirit would touch them also as well. And Lord, bring to them the truth of the Word of God, Lord, which you want to manifest to them. So Lord, we pray, Lord, let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight, my rock and my redeemer. In Jesus' name I pray, amen, amen. This book starts off and he starts off by saying Luke wrote it. And Luke wrote it to one person individually, Theophilus, who we really don't know who he is, but we know that he was somebody of importance and significance because of the way he addressed him. So he was obviously, Luke was a doctor, some guy that wrote the book of Luke, the Gospel of Luke, wrote the book of Acts. Acts is a continuation of the works of the apostles. But more than that, it's the work of the Holy Spirit. It's the beginning of the church. Acts actually gives us the picture of what the church should look like and how we should act being empowered by the Holy Spirit. Jesus made it really obvious, speaking to the disciples, after the resurrection, 40 days. Now, Pentecost means 50. So Pentecost happened at 50 days, but until 40 days, Jesus was appearing to people, walking through doors, being places. Remember, I think it was last week I spoke where he had the fish at the breakfast, you know, talking to Peter and stuff like that. So he was making it, said he appeared to over 500 people, just talking to them, letting them know without a shadow of a doubt, yes, I have risen. So he wants to make that really clear. I think one of the neatest portions about this scripture, which I'm not going to talk about a lot, but after Jesus speaks to the disciples and says, "Tarry here," he begins to ascend. We call it the ascension, right? So they're standing there talking to Jesus, and all of a sudden, he just starts going up, right? And they're just watching. Can you imagine? Can just put yourself there for a second. When you're talking to this Jesus that you love And he's told you some things that are so incredibly important. He's changed your life. And you're just watching him. All of a sudden, he just starts rising up. And there, I'm sure every one of them is just standing there with that dumb look on their face, right? Their mouth is open. What's going on? And then all of a sudden, two men in white, who do you think they were? Two angels appear to them. And he says, guys, don't let this throw you. Because the same Jesus that you saw ascend will descend one day. Guys, let me just tell you, we have missed that opportunity of the ascension, but we may not miss the second coming of Jesus when he comes in the clouds. And I'm telling you, I don't think there'll be a more exciting moment in history to when we see Jesus again. Drop this old flesh and rise right with him. That's the thing that we have over the disciples. They had to stay on earth. But the next time we see him descend, we go right back with him. Praise Jesus. I want you to look with me just a couple pages back in the John chapter 20. In John chapter 20, this was pretty much the first time that Jesus appeared to them. Chapter 20, verse 20, it says, he showed them his hands and his sides. The disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. So he has walked into the room where the disciples are huddled up. He shows them, this is me. They can't touch him at that point. But then in verse 21, Jesus said to them again, peace to you. As the Father has sent me, I also send you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, receive the Holy Spirit. Now, I want you to get this. Receive the Holy Spirit. Now, Jesus breathed on them. That word breathe is the same word in Genesis where it says Jesus, or God, breathed into Adam and he became a living soul. It's the Zoe, the breath of life. So his disciples are huddled about and he says, guys, receive the Holy Spirit. And I believe that when he breathed, they inhaled and they took in what he was breathing out. Fully God, fully Spirit, full of the Holy Ghost. What was that all about? It was salvation. See, when you get saved, the Holy Spirit comes in you. Now, most people think the disciples were walking in salvation. They wasn't. They were Old Testament saints. They were in the Gospels, but Jesus had not died. So when Jesus died, Scripture tells us that he descended and then he led the captives captive. What's that mean? I believe, you know, at that time we know that hell was basically two parts. One was the hell we think of, and the other was paradise. And remember, the rich man looked over into paradise and saw Lazarus and said, send him over and let him dip his fingers. So we know they could see each other, but Abraham said he can't pass from one. We can't pass from side to side. So I believe when Jesus died on the cross, he descended into the deep, and he goes down there and he says, hey, you righteous saints of God, I am the Messiah and whom you've been waiting for, and I just paid the price for you. No longer are your sins covered, but from this day forward, your sins are no more. I paid the wages of your sin. Now let's get out of this place and let's go where you were supposed to go all along. And he took those captive in paradise and brought them to heaven, where they are even now. Today when you die, I mean, I hope you don't die today. At least not while I'm preaching to you. You know, when you die at that appointed time, you don't go to paradise, you don't go to purgatory, you don't go to any other place. There's two places you're going to go. You're either going to heaven or to hell. And it's according to what you've done on this earth. If you've made Jesus your Savior, then he forgives you of your sin and you will go to heaven. The moment you die, to be absent from this body is to be present with the Lord, is what he said. So when he came back to the disciples, this was after, I think, he led the captives captive, took them to heaven. Then he basically does the same thing to his disciples. He says, look, look, I want you to see, I paid the price for you. It's finished. I am the Lamb of God. I was slain for you. Your sins have been obliterated. They're gone to be remembered no more. And so at that point, he says, now receive the Holy Spirit. And he breathed on them, and they received the Holy Ghost. That was salvation. When you get saved, the Holy Spirit comes and lives in you. Peter said that he has made us partakers of the divine nature of God. In other words, when you get saved, you have a little bit of God living in you. Now, what we need to do, as John did, as John said, let me decrease so that you would increase. In other words, let Eric die to the old sinful nature, that the little piece of God that you have placed in me can grow and can overcome the old sinful carnal nature, and you become large and in charge, and live your life through me. So they were not baptized in the Holy Spirit, but they received the Holy Spirit. So then the next time he meets with them, he says, guys, I want you to tarry around for a little while. It's 40 days. They've been 40 days after the resurrection or after Passover. And he says, you need to stay here for a little bit. And he said, John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Now, they already have the Holy Spirit in them. So then they ask a question. They said, Jesus, it's like they're getting off track a little bit. And they said, Jesus, tell us, what time is this? What season are we in? And for the longest time, I thought Jesus sort of rebuked them, like it sort of angered him, but it didn't. He was so patient and kind with the disciples. He just said, it's not time for you to know. This is not for you to know. He said, the word seasons is epoch. In other words, it means it's a start of a new era in history. This is all you really need to know is we have changed chapters in the book of life. And now we are in a new era. What's that era? It's the era of grace, the dispensation of grace. It's the era of church, of the church age. So they were the beginning of the church. He says, wait here. Be very specific, wait right here in Jerusalem until the promise of the Father. And then he says, now we know in Luke chapter 11, verse 13, he says, if you then being evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? So if God tells you to wait because he wants to give you a gift, I wouldn't go anywhere, right? Because the gifts that the Father wants to give to the church are so wonderful, you don't want to miss it. I don't want to be at Lowe's when God's dispensing gifts, right? I want to be where he's at. But he says, wait for the time, but you will receive power when this Holy Spirit comes upon you. He says, John baptized with water, but you'll be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Now, you don't have to understand this totally, but you need to accept it. This is not the creativity of a man. This is the words of Jesus. It's in red where he says in John 20, he said, receive the Holy Spirit. But in Acts chapter 1, he says, wait around here because now I want you to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. Now, today in the church world, we want to sort of make that one thing. You know, it all happens at salvation. It doesn't. If it could have, it would have. It would have happened right then for the disciples. This is two separate works of the Holy Spirit. So we need to do just as he did and taught, once you receive him as Lord, once you're saved, then you receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Why? Because it's the power. He empowers us. The Holy Spirit is the agent of God on this earth today, and he executes the will of God. So whatever God has designed for you to do or to be, it's going to take the Holy Spirit for you to make it. I have talked to many people in my life trying to encourage them to serve the Lord, and they would say things like this: I just don't think I can do that. I don't think I can live the life of a Christian. And I never, ever, ever argue with them. I always agree. I agree. You can't do it. No person can live the Christian life just by themselves. It takes the power of the Holy Spirit. But guess what? That's why He gave Him to us. He gave Him so that we would be witnesses. The word witness is the same word, the same Greek word that we get martyr. So Jesus is saying, after you receive the Holy Spirit, it's the power to be a martyr. Now see, we can train anyone to do witnessing. We can train you to hand out tracts. We can train you to memorize the Roman road so that you just like push a record button or a speak button and you go through this little reel of everything you know. That's not what He's saying. He said, I don't want you to do witnessing. I want you to be a witness. It's totally different. How can you be something? Only by the transformation of the Holy Ghost in you so that you become a dead man. I wish that we would take the word witnesses out of our Bible and write dead man there. He gives you the power to be a dead man. Say, well, it doesn't take power to be dead. Yes, it does. Doesn't it? It takes power to not be selfish. It takes power to consider other people's feelings more than mine, to prefer my brother. It takes power for me not to seek my own agenda, to seek His agenda. That's what God's talking about. The Holy Spirit is going to come upon you so that you can be transformed by Him to be somebody you've never been before. God wants to do a work in you far greater than what you can imagine. And He has given us the gift. He has given us the ability to do this. Why do you think the church world has fought so hard against this doctrine? This is the doctrine that has separated most denominations, is the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Why? Because Satan knew that this is the dunamis, this is the dynamite power that's going to change your life to change this world. So if I can just get the church not to believe this doctrine, then they'll never experience the transformation power of the Holy Ghost. God wants to change you so you become the poster child of who He is. It's not about speaking. It's not about memorizing scriptures. It's about the Holy Ghost doing something in you so that people look at you and say, man, he's not the guy he used to be. Something different. That's how you be a witness and not do witnessing. And that's what God cares about. He wants to make you be someone new, someone just like Him. Isn't that exciting? I'm to be like my big brother, Jesus. That word power is the word dynamis. It's the word that we get dynamite from. It means you have an explosive power within you so that you're going to, when you get baptized in the Holy Spirit, there are just times when you just feel Him rise up in you. There's just, boom, you know, it's time to stand up. It's time to say, to speak up. It's time to show Christ faithful. No longer. Think about Peter. Peter couldn't even stand up to a little servant girl in the dark. He denied Jesus three times at the crucifixion. But on the day of Pentecost, on the day when he was baptized with the Holy Spirit, and people are walking around saying, what is this commotion? What's going on in this city? We all hear our own language. What in the world? These guys must be drunk. And Peter is the one that stands up. That coward, Peter, stood up and he preached to the whole town. Why? Because he wasn't who he used to be. There was a transformation when the Holy Spirit came. He became the instrument of God. Whew, that's good. You guys are quiet, that's okay. But I'm about to have a party. Whew. You know, I was studying this, and as I begin to study it, I realize they say 500 years before Jesus ever walked on this earth, a guy by the name of Siddhartha Gautama, we know him as Buddha. Buddha, sort of my, I'm trying to grow into a Buddha, I think. But Buddha taught an eightfold path to the light. Is what he said. I always thought Buddha was really evil, but actually the things he taught were actually very good. So I wanted to record what he taught. Knowledge of truth. He wanted his people to follow truth. The intention to resist evil. 3 was to say nothing to hurt others. 4 is to respect life, morality, and property. 5 was to hold a job that doesn't hurt others. 6 was to control your feelings and your thoughts. 7 was to practice proper forms of concentration, which is what God wants us to do, right? He wants us to concentrate and to meditate on Him day and night. And then 8 was do to others what you would not want them, don't do to others what you would not want them to do to you. Isn't that an interesting statement? Sounds a little familiar, right? So 100 years before Buddha was a Chinese philosopher known as Confucius. And he also taught this higher, more character. And he taught this, what you do not wish for yourself, do not do to others. So both of them, 600 years before Christ ever came, was teaching this doctrine of being good to others. Then when Jesus comes, what does he teach? Do unto others. He put a positive spin on it. Do unto others as you would them do unto you. Now, what's the difference between Buddha, Confucius, and Jesus? 2 of the 3 are still in the tomb, first of all. 1 has risen from the tomb. But the 2 other guys could teach you some great things to do, but they couldn't empower you to do them. This is good. They could not give you the power to be good to others, to do all the things that they were instructing and teaching and wanting their disciples to do, but they couldn't help you do it. But Jesus comes along. He teaches a much deeper truth even than they do, a transformation of yourself so that you become like God, like Him. And then He says, by the way, I'm not leaving you orphans. I'm not leaving you powerless. I'm sending the helper. I'm sending the comforter. I'm sending the teacher. I'm sending the guide. I'm sending Him to you to empower you so that you can do what I've been teaching you. You can't do it by yourself. Too many Christians are trying to live a Christ life in their own power, in their own flesh. I'm telling you, you need the Holy Ghost to help you live this life. And Jesus said, it's better if I go so that I can send Him back to you. And what have we done? Many, many, many Christians have snubbed their nose at the Holy Ghost. They have called Him it. Like He was just something, not someone. They have disrespected Him. They've grieved Him. I'm telling you, we need to embrace Him. We need to pray to Him. Some people say, no, you don't pray to the Holy Ghost. He is God. He is God. It's okay. Pray to the Holy Spirit. He is the Spirit of Jesus, the Spirit of God. The 3 are 1. It's okay to say, Holy Ghost, I worship you. You say that to an angel, and they'll say, get up on your feet, boy. You don't worship angels. You don't worship preachers. You don't worship men. You don't worship song leaders. You worship God and Him alone. I can't get past that word, witness. And as I taught this morning, I really hit it sort of lightly. And as I was standing here worshiping the Lord in the second service, the Lord spoke to me and He said, you tell them what a witness is. You make sure they know. Folks, a witness is a martyr. He has called you to be a dead man. If there's one truth in the body of Christ that is not taught today, it's this truth. You are not to live. Christ is to live in you. Now, the only way we can become that, is through the power of the Holy Ghost. We get all weirded out about the Holy Spirit. Oh, He comes, I'm going to act weird. You don't have to, but you'll act different, right? He will change you. He wants to change you into the image of God. He wants you to die so He can walk in your shoes. He can go to work where you work. He can love your husband the way you're supposed to love your husband. He can love your wife the way you're supposed to love your wife. That's good preaching, Pastor Kelleher. Woo! Thank you. We need the Holy Spirit. Quit shunning Him. Quit moving away from Him. Embrace Him. It's just as simple as this. God, if you're giving gifts, sign me up twice. I want everything you're giving. You don't have to understand this. No one understands everything. All we know is Jesus breathed on the disciples at one time and said, receive the Holy Spirit. And then He says, tarry here for a little while because I want you to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. Two separate things. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 12, He says, now we have not received the spirit of this world. Stop for just a second. You've not received the spirit of the world, so quit walking like the world. Christians, we ought to be acting different in this time than every other person on the face of the earth. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but a power, love, and a sound mind. Now, I'm not telling you not to be wise. I think you should be wise. I think we should obey the governor. We should listen to the things he's telling us. But don't let the spirit of this world attach himself to you. I'm telling you, sometimes when I walk into the stores, I can feel that spirit want to attach, that spirit of fear. Told you one time I was in Lowe's, and this lady said, can I pass by you? And she was all masked up. She said she'd been at home for 4 weeks with 3 boys. I said, God bless your heart. Welcome to the world, sweetheart. And she said, can I just go behind you? I said, honey, you can go anywhere you want to go. I refuse to live my life in fear to this virus. I'm just not going to do it. We have not received the spirit of this world. We should not be selfish. We should not be greedy. We should not be lovers of things. We are to be just like He is. He laid His life down. He said in Luke, I came to seek and to save that which was lost. If that's His mission, it's our mission. Not receive the spirit of the world, but we have received a spirit. We have received the spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. I just told you the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of God. He's in heaven, He's on earth, He's in us. He takes the things that we need to know. He takes them from heaven, He takes them from the Father. He hears the messages of what's going on, and he can bring them to your door. He tells you the things that you need to know. I can't tell you how many times the Spirit of God has dropped things in my heart that I should not have known, but he let me know, especially when I was raising teenagers. That's the time you better be in the know. And the Spirit of God, like sometimes he's the biggest tattletale on the earth. And when he does that, he does it for your good. He will tell you things that you need to know today, in real time. The Holy Ghost will give you a piece of the mind of God so that you can walk in the fullness of God. The Spirit comes with gifts. There's 9 gifts that the Spirit of Christ, the Holy Spirit, brings to each and every individual. We tend just to focus on one, speaking in tongues. Now, we believe that that's the initial gift, but I also believe that we get way too hung up on that. I believe that many people don't want the Holy Spirit because they don't want tongues. Well, Paul said, I pray in tongues more than you all. Most of the time, I could put a percentage on it. It would be really high, but I'd be making it up. Most of the time, your prayer language is for your closet. It's so that you can intercede and you can pray when you don't know how to pray. You been there? Have you ever been in a time where I don't know how to pray, I don't know what to pray, but you can pray in the Spirit because he will use your voice. He will use your vessel and he will pray for someone else or for something you don't even know what's going on. Pray for you through the Holy Spirit. This is not something that you need to be afraid of. It's something that you need to embrace. How do you do that? You ask God. Ask Jesus. Lord, I want every gift you got. I want it. I want him. I want, if there's something out there that you want, that you died to give us, I want it. I want the Holy Spirit. And then you don't need a man to lay hands on you. You don't need to tarry. The only people that ever tarried was these disciples. He said, wait here. For years and years, the church would teach that you have to tarry for the Holy Ghost. And I know people that waited for years waiting for the Holy Spirit. That's nonsense. He's already come. He's already been given. The only thing that stops us now is you. You are the hesitant part. It's usually this, because you're trying to figure it out. You're trying to think, how does this work? You're never going to figure out God. Isaiah said, your thoughts are way higher than my thoughts. Your ways are way higher than I can't comprehend. But in the New Testament, in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 16, he said, but I've given you the mind of Christ. How's he do that? Through the Holy Spirit. He wants to give you the gifts, right? There's goodness God wants to give. You must be a receiver. It's as simple as that. Dying to yourself. You don't have to look like a fool. You don't have to be boisterous or loud. You just say, Jesus, I'm asking you, baptize me in the Holy Spirit. I understand when I got saved, the Spirit of God came into my heart. But Lord, I see today it's different. There's another step. And I want you. Just ask him. Just worship and praise him. And it's very possible that you'll begin to hear words or syllables in the back of your mind. You'll just hear something a little different. You just speak them out. You just speak it out. That's the baptism of the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in tongues. And there's so much more. There's 8 more gifts that he wants to give you and use in you. You will find yourself going up to people and saying, do you mind if I pray with you? You know, the Lord just told me something about you. Is it all right if I just tell you what I think the Lord told me? What is that? It's a gift of wisdom, a gift of knowledge. God wants to use you to bring change into this old world. Anybody think Paris, Tennessee needs a little bit of change? Amen. We need all of Him we can get. Most of the church is backing away from this message. And what's the church doing? We've been declining for decades. The Pentecostal church was the only church growing for a while. But guess what, guys? It quit growing. You know why? Because we started backing away from this doctrine. We ought not back away from this one. This is the power to become a martyr for Jesus. We need to die so that He can live. And that's what a witness is. Amen. Would you stand with me as we pray? Jesus, we come before You today, and I thank You, Lord, for the message of the Holy Spirit. I thank You for the gift of the Holy Spirit. I pray today, Lord, not only for those that are gathered here, but I pray for everyone that will be listening to this message, Lord. I pray today that there's a sensitivity to the things of God and to the Spirit of God. I pray that there's a hunger in hearts all around that are listening to this. And Lord, even in their living room, as they just lift their hands before God and they make sure that they're saved, they ask You to forgive them of their sin and come into their heart. Now baptize them with the Holy Spirit, with the evidence of speaking in tongues. God, I pray, Lord, right now that Your Spirit would touch every heart that is calling out to You. Lord, there are many people that just need to be refilled because they're dry. They're dry as clay, Father. They're dry as dust. They need to be touched by You. Lord, refill them with the Holy Spirit. Touch them and make them anew so that each and every one of us would become a witness, a martyr for Jesus Christ. In the powerful name of Christ, we pray. Amen. Amen. I know that many of you think, I don't want to be a martyr. You know, I'm not getting on a bus either, and I'm not asking you to get on a bus today. But I do want to be a dead man. I want to be dead to Eric so that Jesus Christ lives in my life. That's the difference that we make in this world. So in that respect, I want to be a martyr. Now let me just tell you, maybe there's a time that we will face actual martyrhood. What happens? Are you powerful enough to lay your life down? If you have the Holy Spirit in you, He will give you what you need at that time. Don't try to think about this one a whole lot. Definitely don't worry about it. The Lord will empower you for whatever situation you need. Guys, I told you this story already. But David Livingston, the missionary, when he was going to these countries that was infected with mosquitoes carrying malaria, and many, many thousands of people were dying, they had a container full of mosquitoes that they knew had the infectious disease in there. David Livingston stuck his hand in that thing, and as the mosquitoes would land on him, they would die. David Livingston didn't die, the mosquito would die. Why? Because he knew his God. He who dwells in the secret place of the Almighty shall abide. Right? No pestilence that comes against you will prosper. Right? I'm telling you guys, don't be afraid of a virus. Be wise, but don't live in fear, because greater is He that's in us than he that's in this world. May the blessings of the Lord rest upon you today. Raise your hand. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face to shine upon you and lift His countenance upon you and give you peace. Nothing missing, nothing broken. Now go in peace and serve the Lord. God bless you today. Have a great day.